And for KFSK News, I'm Joe Vicnicki, and I am joined in the studio today by Chandra Thornburg, who is the Parks and Recreation Director for the Petersburg Borough. And this is the Borough Report for Thursday, September 26, 2019. And today's focus on parks and recreation. And we're going to take your phone calls, 772-3808. Do our best to answer your questions. And I've got a lot of my own, too, so I'm going to dive right in. First off, welcome, Chandra, and
thanks
for coming. And let's talk about Parks and Rec. I know I did some reporting this summer about parental concerns about age limit at the gym and pool for unattended minors at Open Gym and Open Swim. Mm-hmm. Let's start with that. What's the latest on that? Have you implemented that? Are you going to, or something different? Or let's maybe get that microphone a little closer to you if you wouldn't mind. Yep. There we go.
Okay. We are going with our current rules that we've always had to ensure the safety of our young patrons. Parents are responsible for the behavior and supervision of their children. Our next community meeting is going to be Monday, October 7th at 5:30 p.m., where I would like to further that discussion with whoever would like to show up. What we have done as well in the meantime has talked with the school district and implemented a new discipline plan. This is in conjunction or mirrors the middle school's tiered system. We've altered it to meet the needs of the community and aquatic center while also including adult consequences. So in hopes of creating continuity through the community, the tier system lists unacceptable behavior and the recommended consequences. And depending on the severity of the actions, the staff are empowered to start at tiers 2, 3, or 4. So implementing a more strict discipline process through our facility.
Okay, so basically if a kid or an adult is messing up, there is a punishment that goes with that. In school, that's a detention or something. But mm-hmm. in Parks and Rec, what form does that take? You don't get to be at Parks and Rec after that? Or how does it work?
It depends on the severity. If it's a child that's talking back or misbehaving, the first step is education, letting them know it's not okay. Going from there to maybe sitting out or time out to calling the parents. That's all within tier one. So depending on the severity, I mean, it could be if they're not listening to the point where we can't get them to sit out, asking them to leave for the day, you're welcome to come back with your parents to have a discussion with the facility supervisor or myself. And then figuring out maybe we do have some volunteer time built into that process, as well as lengths of time away from the facility, depending on what's going on.
Okay. So you mentioned that next community meeting. Is the age limit that was talked about this summer, is that still a possibility after that meeting or at some future time? Or is the borough still interested in doing that kind of change?
Well, the goal of that was to create more consistent feedback for a certain age group, because right now what we do have is all young patrons are supposed to be with the parents and the parents are responsible. I really want to do what the community needs and keep the safety of the kids as a top priority and concern. So after the meeting, I'm really open to listening to the community and moving forward from there and working as best as possible with my employees to implement what the community's asking for.
Okay. The borough attorney, in defending the need for that kind of change this summer, brought up a case in Sitka of a man who was charged with photographing boys mm-hmm. in the locker room of a facility over there. I think that case hasn't yet gone to trial or anything, but mm-hmm. what is done here in Petersburg to make sure that kind of thing doesn't happen here? Are there any safeguards for that kind of contact between kids and adults, and or do there need to be things done to make sure of kids' safety in the future?
We have, during school times and Viking Swim Club, we've implemented a new safeguard during the Viking Swim Club time from 3 to 6 p.m. Viking Swim Club students are the only ones allowed to go into the locker rooms. No adults are allowed during that time frame. During the school day, the teachers are in the locker rooms with them. while they're changing, when they're done. No adults from the community that are exercising are allowed to go into the locker rooms during those time frames. So in the evening times, really what we're discussing is during open swim, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., the facility specialists are doing facility checks and looking in the locker rooms. But I do believe, I mean, we cannot put cameras in the locker rooms, so...
And I imagine you don't have staff of both genders available at all times to be going through both locker rooms, right?
Correct. We have two facility specialists that are females that work in the evening right now and a male that works in the morning. So
it's not always a situation where you could have a staff person walking through a locker room on a regular basis necessarily, depending on who's on your payroll.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about outside of the locker room? You do have security cameras in the other parts of the building, and I think mm-hmm. you were talking about putting up more, or?
Yes. So one of the things that we implemented or budgeted for this year was a new set of security cameras and software system. Our current cameras are fuzzy. Some of them aren't working. So we don't have complete coverage over the facility. And we also have two separate systems. So I'm going to be meeting with Devron next week, actually, to combine all of the cameras, put up some more. In total, this project, we anticipate it to cost around $20,000.
Wow, okay. All right. And just out of your regular budget, this is not a separate budgeted item or anything? Or
this one, Jody, Steve, and I are working on the... It's not within my budget.
Okay. The source of the funds. Okay. Correct. So you don't have to absorb that in your regular operating. Okay.
Correct.
All right. And those security cameras, the displays for would be back behind the front desk at the community pool facility there. And okay.
Mm-hmm. We're moving the base of operations for all of the camera systems into the downstairs office in the aquatic area.
Okay. All right. And then are there other measures you've taken to change? You've done alarms on the doors as well, or what else?
Yeah, we put alarms on all the old emergency, all the emergency exits. So the emergency exit of the gym and the back, the old entrance of the facility. We're working on putting up frosted plates on the back windows as well to discourage children from opening up doors for each other. We have replaced locks on the gym doors so the school can lock their facility when it's their school time. Background checks for employees, although they were done internally before, are now being done through an outside company called TSS.
And is there talk of background checks for volunteers or other people who aren't employees? Or
mm-hmm. Yes.
But you haven't started those yet?
Right.
Okay.
So we have been talking with Viking Swim Club. Viking Swim Club does their own background checks. They have their own system that they have to do. So our volunteers we don't have any volunteers that are working with children right now, but we are working on that process of establishing policies and procedures for a volunteer coordinator type of just so that it's consistent across the board. We have uniforms.
Yeah, I see that. So that was one suggestion that the parents came or community members came forward with. I see you're wearing your uniform. Mm-hmm. So you have your staff wearing those as well. And the hope there was that it'd be very clear for a kid or anyone else having problem at the facility to know who to talk to, who's mm-hmm. the person to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're also working on taking pictures of all of our staff members right now to get everybody badges. So
okay.
Another way to have everybody easily identifiable. The staff monitoring the facility. So hallway checks have become more formalized. There's a process, a formal log that they have to complete and fill out. While I don't really want to tell you the time frames, they mm-hmm. are checking the hallways on a regular intermittent basis and writing down the interactions that are occurring between customers and children and adults so that I can follow up and increase communication with our community in that way as well.
That was another real suggestion that came out of that summer meeting, I think, from community members and parents, just to have your staff on a regular basis going through the facility on a lot more regular basis. That, of course, has effects elsewhere. You're not sitting at the desk, or you don't necessarily have people at the desk if you're walking through the building, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So our facility specialists are really rock stars. We have three facility specialists that are full-time employees that open and close the building. And right now they have responsibilities that include cleaning, customer service, safety of the of the facility, lifeguarding if we need backup lifeguard coverage, and event kind of preparation. So they're a jack of all trades in a way.
Okay.
They're really great.
So how many people use the system that they're signed up online, they pay online, it's fully, you know, done online versus the people who come in with $6 in their pocket and just say, I want to jump the gym and use it? I mean, how much are your customers, your patrons, are fully booked and taken care of? They just scan their card when they walk in Parks and Rec versus the people who need someone there at the front door to help them with? Is it 50-50 or?
It depends on the time of day.
Okay.
So our morning exercisers are almost always on a, morning to even midday, are almost always on a membership. And they just swipe their card. They're, every once in a while, they need help and assistance. More so in the evening and for open swims, we have drop-in. Last night, I was working the front desk, and out of 25 people that came to open swim, I'd say half of them paid. So it really depends on, I think, the type of program that people are coming to.
Mm-hmm. So those would be times when you really would need somebody at the front desk taking that money. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. How is staffing these days at Parks and Rec?
We are down 8 lifeguard positions.
Okay.
So we really would like to know who is out there that would like to lifeguard. Our lifeguard positions are Monday through Friday from 5:45 to 9 p.m. And the 8 to 9 p.m. is cleaning. So Saturdays from 6:45 to 9 a.m. and 11:45 to 8 p.m. The facility specialist and I are helping cover those positions right now. And I think most positions are about 10 to 15 hours. They're not full-time positions.
Okay.
So they're part-time. And if you're interested, Stephanie and I are the lifeguard instructors, and we need 5 people to run a class. And currently we have 2. So please get a hold of us either through our emails or on the phone. It's for me, it's cthornburg@petersburgak.gov. And Steph is S. Payne. P-A-Y-N-E.
Okay. And are those hours pretty flexible or pretty regular for when you would need them to work? Or?
Pretty flexible. I mean, the open swim hours are all the same. However, we have one lifeguard that only works Monday nights. And yeah.
Okay. All right. So lifeguards, you're down a lot of people. Do you have all the other positions filled in Parks and Rec? Or?
We have a full-time custodian position that's currently open. And
okay.
We're interested in seeing if they can work any time between the hours of 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. This is a benefited position. Step C is about $15.60 an hour. And it comes with vacation and medical and dental and all of that.
Okay. All right, so they can contact you if they're interested or find it. I know it's on the borough's website, too. So
yes, absolutely.
Okay. You mentioned custodian. Has there been a lot of maintenance done at the pool and gym this year?
So glad
and
you
is there
that.
Much more to do? It is an old facility, right? It's what?
It's about 15 years old now.
Okay.
So I've got a long list here of maintenance things that have happened, and I've listed these particular things because they're over $1,000 of replacement cost or fees, and we've had some rather critical system failures this year, and Cody has done an amazing job fixing them.
In the pool and or gym or both?
Both, yes.
Okay.
So we had an HVAC system that needed, the coils needed to be rebuilt in January. All of our eyewash stations throughout the facility were replaced. In February, we installed new chemical feeders. These feeders are approximately about 7,000.
For feeding chemicals into the pool, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We had a radiant heating leak in the lobby, and that was fixed wonderfully. We installed some new locking mechanisms on pool doors to meet fire code. And unfortunately, when it seems like such a small thing, but new locks for doors of that caliber are anywhere from 1,500 to 3,000, depending on each side. So those are rather expensive. Then during our May maintenance closure, we replaced all of the pool drains. We replaced the in-pool lights, which were expected to be about 15,000, but only came in at about 9,000. So that was great. We replaced and repaired the wall in the weight room and floor pads. We did a temporary rebuild of the sauna, painted the pool locker rooms, or most of them. We had to rebuild the pump in the bubble couch, installed new CO2 diffusers, which were about $8,000, fixed tiles in the leisure pool. And then, this was not in our budget. This was something that was outside of the budget that I worked with Steve and Jody about. We ran new fiber lines to the facility so that we could do an upgrade on our camera systems and our computer systems and our software. That was in June. That was about $25,000. So in July, we did a racquetball and gym refinish floor. Like, we refinished the floor, mm-hmm. built a new fence out at Outlook Park. And then in August, we replaced the filters and the internal workings of them. The external portions of the filters stayed the same, and we salvaged as much as we could, but that was about $20,000. This was pre-planned and in the budget as well. We also installed new chemical feeders. Got that one. Computers that monitor the feeders and that run the whole system. And then we replaced all the security lights in the hallway and the gym. So what we're currently working on, or what we've done so far this month, is replacing the locks on the gym doors, the motors on the basketball courts. We're going to be installing a new pool lift for the leisure pool to create better access for the PT patients that are coming over from the hospital. Our sprinkler system has a pressure leak, and we're working on fixing that. And Cody has gone through two trainings this month on a boiler system, and he's currently away to become a certified pool operator. So he's a busy guy. He's been.
Okay. He's your head maintenance guy? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You had asked previously about upcoming maintenance things that we're going to be working on in the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about cameras. We're in the middle of October. We're going to be rebuilding the hallway office, pulling down the artwork that's around the office and setting up an employee station to work there.
That's where the old front desk was as you mm-hmm. enter the gym. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a mural there, but that'll be coming down.
Yes, but we're going to try and save it because it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. My hope is that we can put it in the gym, like maybe behind the bleachers.
Okay. If I remember right, that was Tammy Wales who did that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that'll be a new employee station there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That
won't be the front desk, though. Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to try and still have everybody that's coming into the facility check into the front desk that we currently have in the Aquatic Center area. But having someone stationed specifically more in the evening or afternoon time frame from 3 to 8 p.m.-ish to create that extra hallway visibility and presence. And to create backup for the basketball program that we have running right now in the evenings.
Okay.
We're going to be working on replacing the air handling vents on the pool deck and throughout the facility. We have VFDs for the pool pumps that we want to install to reduce energy cost. So they they shift the operational, electrical output of the pumps. We also want to do auto off buttons for the showers in the pool locker rooms. These were originally anticipated to be less and it turned out to be about a $20,000 project. So I would like to kind of wait and either try and see if I can get any grants or replace those in next year's budget.
Wow, $20,000 for just for those buttons that turn, just go turn on for a little bit of time, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Each gang shower has three different shower heads to it, and we have four of those in the poolside locker rooms. And then each of the shared, the independent shower walls are shared, and they have two. And the number of shower heads increases the, unfortunately, increases the cost.
Okay.
We're going to be working on replacing the tile throughout the facility. We would like to upgrade the facility lights throughout to LED lights. They're reaching their ballast are coming to a point where we're going to need to replace them. And replacing the ballast is approximately the same cost as replacing to an LED. So at this point, we would just like to upgrade to that. We need to replace the countertops in the locker rooms. The painting in the aquatic center needs to be redone, like the entire ceiling.
Okay, that's a big job.
It's a huge one. I'm not sure if that's a need to do item. I'm not sure if that's going to happen in the next couple of years. The initial quotes that I'm receiving are going to be anywhere from 180 to 200,000. So it's going to be a little bit before we. You might see me on a rappel rope up there.
Yikes. Okay. Those are some of the big
those are
upcoming
some of the,
needs.
Mm-hmm. And what we, things that are outside of our facility, we have, there's the visitor dock at the ferry terminal. We are currently doing research to see which land that is on. I believe it's underneath different categories. It might be state, it might be borough, but the dock is in disrepair and has been closed down.
And that's the borough's dock now, or it always has
the
been?
The ferry terminal would like to say this is the borough's dock. I think that my predecessor had talked with the ferry terminal and had figured out that it wasn't our land, so we had pulled back from doing the garden there because we were doing that before. So in the meantime, I believe that the borough has performed some maintenance on that dock in the past. So the ferry wants to give the dock to us, but we can't find any paperwork that says that it's on our land. So we're trying to figure out, we're doing a little bit of research there.
I noticed it had a sign across it and keep out note at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's one of the larger/small projects I get to work on the outside of the community center. We're currently working with Rotary Club to replace the playground at Sandy Beach. This is anticipated to be about $100,000 project. So the Desi Burrell, if anybody's interested in helping Desi, she has taken on the lead through the Rotary Club. And has also worked with PIA to figure out, and PIA has given us a grant for that. So those are big projects outside of the facility that I'm kind of looking at here in the next couple of years.
Okay. And other kids' parks around town, are there other ones still open or still run by Parks and Rec?
Yeah, so Parks and Rec takes care of multiple playgrounds around town. We have Ball Field Playground, the Ira 2 Playground, the Sandy Beach Playground. The Yilkachak Playground was removed, and the land is technically PIA's, so I'm in negotiation, like in conversations with neighbors there and PIA and Tlingit Haida. I'm sorry. The land is technically Tlingit Haida's, and we're trying to figure out how to transition the neighboring properties and figuring out what that is.
Tlingit Haida Housing Authority. That's up in the airport subdivision there by behind the shopping center.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right.
So besides those, we also work with Eagles Roost Park, Sandy Beach, City Creek Trail, Outlook Park, Bushman Park, the South Harbor Viewing Area, the Hungry Point Trail, the Bill Musson Trail, the Nature Boardwalk Trail, and perform the larger maintenance on the ball fields and its associated buildings. The cemetery, the 10 acres of grass that it's on, the gazebo, the greenhouse. And then I really have to do a shout out to Jesse and our laborer position, Colin, this summer. They've done they continue to do a great job every year. But besides those, he does an amazing amount of space and areas around town. He takes care of the South Harbor, Lumber Street, the Harbor Master's Office, and the North Harbor Skiff Float Planters, the Hanging Flower Pots, the planters near Petersburg Properties, the planters near Wells Fargo, the community center planters, the library grounds and the trail, as well as all the playgrounds and parks and the cemetery. So they do an amazing amount of work.
Yeah. Okay. How does Friends of Parks and Rec group become involved in some of these projects as well? Or
right now, the Friends of Parks and Rec is focused on three different projects. They have they're interested in helping figure out how to maintain and keep up the Eagle's Roost stairs. They've been looking into that and put a couple of days of work into opening up and really lengthening the lifespan of those stairs this last winter. They are looking into grants and stuff for help with the replacement of the showers, and then also are looking into the possibility and the very initial beginnings and processes of seeing if we can do a disc golf course.
Okay.
Through City Creek Trail out on the other side of Sandy Beach.
Okay.
So those are the three projects that the group has decided to take on. It's a volunteer group. It's not formed in any capacity with a board or anything. Each member comes of their own free willingness to volunteer and help, and we kind of update and from there.
Is there room for other people who are interested in being involved in that?
Absolutely.
Group? And when do you meet, and on how regular basis?
We stopped meeting over the summer. Okay. I've sent out an email to the group to see if when their next meeting would be. In the past, we typically met the third Wednesday, about 5 to 6 p.m. We've passed that this month, so I'm not sure what they would like to do starting next month.
Okay. And we should note this is pretty different than a Parks and Rec Advisory Board, which the city of Petersburg had in the past, but was ended a couple years back. Is there any interest in getting that restarted in the future? You would love that?
Please. I would love an advisory board. Having a group of people that are representative of the community to help and discuss and brainstorm on ways that we can build a better, brighter Parks and Recreation Department for the future would be amazing.
Okay. Please. And that would take, another ordinance change before the Borough Assembly.
Act of assembly. Yeah. Please go out.
Okay. Well, are you actively seeking to get that ordinance before the assembly to get it back on, I should ask?
I've been talking to people.
Okay.
It has to come to a vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so an assembly member needs to present it to the group and be voted on. So I need some help.
Okay.
I would love anybody who's interested or has a passion about the idea of this group to please step forward. I would love an advisory board.
Okay. One thing an advisory board would do would be to look at your annual budget every year and talk that over, mm-hmm. give you recommendations. In the past few years, your budget has grown by about $200,000 in the past 4 years. And this is a time when the borough is talking about budget cuts in places. Why that growth? Why have you seen an increase in your department?
So the request, the fiscal year 18-19 adopted budget was for $990,000. I ended up spending $880,000. So about, it was almost $90,000 less than the 17-18 year. There's a lot of different reasons. In fiscal year 14-13, there was money that was taken out of the department and was planned on being put in professional services, because in the salary section, the custodian was removed, the full-time employee there, the parks laborer position was removed, and a program coordinator position was removed. So those three positions were reallocated into a professional services side, but then were cut. The intention was for them to be reallocated, but then they were cut from the professional services budget. So for the last couple of years, analyzing what had gone on in the past, I've been talking with Steve. So we have put those three positions back into this year's budget. The program coordinator position last year was put in the budget. This year, the custodian position has been put in the budget. So last year, we spent about $574,000 on employee cost. The adopted budget called for $667,000. So every time we adopt a budget or put forth a budget, it's anticipating that everybody in the employee pool will be asking for full family benefits. It's anticipating that we're going to use all of the overtime expenses and that we're going to use all of the salary expenses. So, however, I strive as hard as possible not to do that. So that's one of the reasons why we've increased. The other increase that I wanted to discuss, a lot of the increase is maintenance cost.
Things we've just been talking about, all those things that need to be replaced.
This year, with the replacement cost, we have over $50,000 that were in the capital outlay that we've been doing and working with. The goal with each line item, we were at $108,000 for utilities back in fiscal year 16-17 with the assembly's approval to charge the school and the community center a different rate, where we've now been able to keep that down to about $81,000. So there's increases for this year. I do not anticipate we'll end up spending it as much as what there was. And a lot of that increase came from employee wages and cost.
Okay. All right. And in terms of operating hours, you were closed Sunday, Mondays. You're now back to just a Sunday closure, although that's not an entire closure, meaning some groups are still have access to the facility during the close times, like roller derby, I'm thinking of. And is that working?
Yeah. So roller derby and Viking Swim Club are unique organizations in the sense that they're nonprofits, they have a board, and they have a president. We have working agreements and MOUs that we have with both groups. Both groups are expected to carry their own insurance policies, as well as be responsible for making sure that the facility is left the way they found it. So the roller derby, both clubs do an amazing job at that. And with demonstrated relationships in the past and moving forward, we felt very confident in agreeing and working with the roller derby team to let them use our facility on the weekends for their normal Sunday practice from 5 to 7 p.m. So, yeah.
And all right, and going forward, you're sticking with the Monday closure and...
We're open on Monday.
Or excuse me, the Sunday closure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Okay, so any chance of that being removed, or is that still necessary going forward?
Right now, with our staffing levels, it's necessary. We have been budgeted approximately 20,000 hours of staffing time, and with Sunday's hours, we need about 23,000 hours of staffing time.
Okay.
So we need more people. What we're currently working on is, because we've chosen to double up in the evening, Tuesday through Saturday, to create that extra coverage, we have some overtime that's being separated out between the three facility specialists, Stephanie and myself, to operate on Mondays. That's not feasible long term. We have the ability and the wiggle room within the budget to be able to create a front desk attendant position, a part-time position. And we're looking at that right now.
Okay.
But we haven't done so yet.
All right. And what else is coming up that we need to tell people about? Do you have any new programs or things happening?
We have Halloween Hustle. That's going to be October 31st, just like last year. If anybody's interested in volunteering for that, please see Steph or Christine Lynn. There's high school swim team is going to have a high school meet.
It's like mid-October, isn't it?
It's mid-October. I think it's the 18th and 19th.
Yeah.
It's the third weekend. And so our facility is going to be used for that. It's going to be closed on Friday for the holiday, but then Saturday the pool will be closed. We would like to start an after-school program from 1:45 to 4. After talking with the school and figuring out if there's any possible space that we could utilize that they're not, we found that from approximately 2:45 to 3:30, the gym is open, and we have space in our activity room. So what we're thinking, the idea that we have in our heads, is that we would like to see if somebody would be interested in picking up the kindergartners, doing some outdoor playtime, coming in and pulling all the kindergartners and the after-school kids together, the elementary schools students, and then doing a structured playtime in the gym. So if anybody is interested in that thought or that process, we're definitely looking for a person and looking to cover that potentially with the cost of the program itself. So
people would pay to have their kid enrolled, and then that instructor or teacher or whatever would
be paid from that.
Be paid from it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it wouldn't necessarily be increasing any employee cost.
Okay.
And we're also always looking for fitness classes. If you have an idea for an arts class or any group meetings that you have and you need a space for, we have room in our activity room, and we would love to start up some new programs.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, speaking of programs, I'm going to go to spin bike.
Yay!
Thank you very much, Chandra, for coming on and talking about Parks and Rec. No phone calls today, but we'll have our next borough report coming up a month from now, and a different department. You're listening to KFSK. We'll be back with weather and messages in just a moment.